Welcome to the Choose Life Radio Network. Your host is Jill Taylor. Every week we bring you a candid conversation with someone who's making a difference for the cause of life. And now here's Jill to introduce today's guest on Choose Life Radio.
Welcome to Choose Life Radio. I'm Jill Taylor, and I'm your host today. And we have two guests. Both of them are very integrated in what's going on in our world today. So Mitch McKelvey and Greg Mack, thank you for joining us.
We appreciate the opportunity, Jill, tremendously. Thank you.
We've talked on the phone a couple of times about some of the things that are happening in our culture, in our world, and certainly in our nation. And I know that you, too, are very aware of the concerns that are happening in our nation right now. I'd love to have you share your thoughts on how we as believers and listeners today can begin to make a difference in what's going on in our government.
Yeah, that's a big topic, Jill, that's for sure. I mean, considering this is an election year, right, and President Biden in the most recent State of the Union brought up abortion again. We wrote that book, Abortion, The Case for Life, Clarity for the Christian, to help Christians and believers increase their understanding about that issue because it's such a lightning rod and so divisive for our culture. And with President Biden bringing that up again, almost in some sense chastising the Supreme Court justices and saying he's going to bring back Roe v. Wade or some version of that, is showing the fight's not over if you're on the pro-life side. That having Roe v. Wade overturned doesn't mean game over. There's still quite a battle going on, you know, and politically, you know, the Democrats want to bring the abortion issue forward.
And that's the platform we want to talk about today, because if we don't stand true for those who don't have a voice, they're unborn, but they're people, they're lives. And from the instant of conception, they are a person, and we just let them grow as we do through elementary school and high school and college, etc., and life. And so it's really important that our listener understand we're talking about the most vulnerable person. Mitch, what do you think about how we can share with women who are listening and husbands who are listening the effect of abortion in that relationship?
Yeah, Jill, thanks for asking that. Greg refers all the time that it's a very emotional, tough decision, and we certainly understand the value of life with that and the tough decision people make, right or wrong. Our book really tried to push that it's a human life in there, so any decision you're making, we just want people to understand that you're making a decision about a human life and that life is valuable and it's worth protecting. And if, you know, more couples and more people, especially Christians, would understand that as a human at time of conception, that would make a big difference. Because I think a lot of people, you know, not maliciously, but just don't see it as a human life at the moment of conception. And they're not doing it because they're hateful or they're evil. They just don't think of it that way. They've almost maybe never heard that before.
And I think that's very true. I think that that's kind of what's going on sometimes in our schools these days. It's not really a person until it's born, in essence. And that's not true at all. Mitch and Greg, you have written a book. Tell us a little bit about that book that our listeners could read.
Yeah, so the abortion, The Case for Life, Clarity for the Christian was written by me and Greg, and we are just two Christians that have been meeting together for 20-plus years, picking subjects out, and just a couple years ago, as we were going through the gospel, and it just kind of led to abortion, and just we wanted to clarify our position on it and be able to, you know, articulate it in a way that's not just saying it's wrong and somebody would say why, just because God said so. So we just wanted to go through it, find out everything about it, and as we discovered many things that we never even thought of, and we just felt like God led us to, hey, put this down. You know, other people may want to read this, you know, other people need to read this because, again, like I said, I think most people just don't have never really thought about it in that way. And I was one of those too, for sure. I never, when I learned it, I was very shocked that my position was nowhere near as far to the no abortion at all as it should have been. And that book really opened my eyes to God's truth, the truth about the human life, the value of it, and just that whole thing. And I think the book really helped, you know, somebody like me. I'm not college educated, nothing. So just a very normal educated person, I could understand that. And it really, really opened my eyes to that truth. And God used it to, you know, really move me in a direction that I wasn't in before.
That's so real to our listener. Many of us who are not related at all to the topic, we haven't had that happen in our family. We haven't chosen that. We don't understand the turmoil that's going on for women and men. Men who are saying, I can't do this. I'm married to someone else. You got to get rid of that baby. Or women who are saying, my parents are going to be so mad at me. I've got to stay in college. I've got to do something. These are the strangest reasons for why we would take away a life. They're very true reasons at the moment for the people who are thinking it. Greg, give the name of your book, if you would, please. Share that and talk a little bit about how you guys decided to go through writing that book.
Well, we wanted to get underneath the emotional superficiality of the topic, right? Because it is such an emotional wrenching and mentally demanding decision, as you stated. I've never had to make that decision. No one I know personally has made that decision that I know of. And so it's easy to intellectually, academically make a statement that, hey, it's wrong. So you're walking in someone's shoes and have to be more empathetic and sensitive to the criticality of that decision and its effect on their lives in any number of ways. And so we wanted it to be a more balanced approach. We wanted to combine kind of what straight science says about the biology of life and balance that against, you know, the biblical perspective on life and really look at the rights issue. Is it a moral issue? And how are these things defined so that if I did need to engage or Mitch needed to engage in a conversation with someone who isn't, you know, strictly pro-life and to the left on our continuum of the abortion processes, that we would be able to have a reasoned, rational discussion about it and get past the emotional stuff. That was the main driver for publishing the book. As far as, again, speaking to what Mitch said, yeah, both of us just wanted clarity at the individual level on the issues.
I bet you've had quite a bit of feedback on that.
Some of the feedback is they agree. Some of the feedback is, you know, they're a little overwhelmed by it. Some people have read the book and just said, well, you know, it's great that you said all that, but I just believe in the woman's right to choose. Right. And so, you know, they really plant their flag on kind of the right to choose and my body, my choice idea. And they don't really want to talk about it past that. And so that's unfortunate, but all we can do is, you know, let them know another perspective and maybe they'll rethink their position and that'll affect, you know, the way policy is written.
One of the things that crossed my mind as we were traveling recently, I was at a stop sign, but the light turned green, and there was someone still walking in the walk across the front. And I thought, you know what? I have the right to go through that light. I have the foot that I can put on my gas. And I am being inconvenienced by that person. So I should just go ahead and plow right over them. They don't matter. And I thought that is, in so many ways, what is happening with abortion. A woman has an inconvenience. They, whatever it is that they or the partner don't want that child. And so you're thinking, yeah, let's just get rid of it. But the reality is it's a life. And when we take a life, we have pulled from our world something very important, because it's a God-given gift. And can you imagine what this world might look like if we had all of those people who weren't aborted? It's an amazing thought.
Jill, one of the key ideas about our country, its constitution, and you know what it bestows upon the citizens of, in terms of the great number of freedoms we do have, albeit many are constrained freedoms, right? And you know our constitution, the laws begotten by it, don't allow a kind of chaotic freedom where anyone can do whatever they want, whenever they want, for any reason they want, without accountability and consequence. You know, you can choose one's career path, you can choose where to live, you can choose what to eat, etc. And this is, you know, an admirable objective, and that opportunity is incredible. The dilemma here is that no one chooses to be born. And choices can only exist after a human being is created and can live. You know, and even then, the number of choices an individual can exercise expands only after years of maturation and ever-increasing freedoms to choose based on that maturation and the responsibilities that go with it, like driving a car, serving the military, getting married. I mean, these things all have accountability and responsibilities associated with them. And I really think that the arguments that while in the womb, once fertilized, you know, the egg is fertilized, that the biological entity growing inside is not actually human is losing its strength. I think that part of their argument is diminished significantly. And in many ways, it's at odds with some of their own core values. You know, I mean, traditionally, the left platform embraced protecting the innocent, embraced empowering the vulnerable. The government should intervene in the economy and provide a broad range of social services to ensure well-being of individuals and equality. That health care is for all humans, in and out of the womb, as a right. The unrestrained access to abortion seems to me to be like this approved exception where not protecting a human life is perfectly acceptable and should be done without any accountability or questioning, which is a clear contradiction in my view.
Right. Oh, wow. I'm ready to ask you about 20 questions, and we'll do that on the other side. And so, listeners, stay with us right here at Choose Life Radio.
Jim will be back shortly to continue this week's exciting interview. But in the next moment, I want to share with you a true story that came out of a massive Armenian earthquake in 1988. I remember the story because it's one of those life stories that conveys biblical truth. After the earthquake, a young mom and her 4-year-old daughter were trapped beneath the rubble of a 36-story apartment complex. She gave her daughter the only food she could locate in the 18-inch space in which she could maneuver, a jar of blackberry jam. The child, satisfied for the moment, soon cried out to her mother for water. In that moment, the mother recalled the story of an Arctic explorer dying of thirst. His comrade, willing to sacrifice himself for his fellow explorer, cut his hand and gave his dying friend blood to help quench his friend's thirst. Locating a shard of glass, the mother cut her finger and placed it in the child's mouth. Although she doesn't recall the day she initially cut her finger, she did it repeatedly in order to comfort her. "I lost all hope," she said, "but I wanted my daughter to live." On the 8th day, her husband and other rescue workers pulled them to safety, and after a week of intravenous feedings, their body fluids were replenished, and they were released from the hospital. It was a miracle, but also a graphic portrayal of Romans 6, verses 4 and 5. "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection." The past few weeks, the Church has been celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus the Messiah. And because we celebrate his conquering death, we have a far deeper appreciation for the value and sanctity of life. And that is this ministry of Choose Life Radio, celebrating the resurrection and sanctity of human life. Without your prayer and generous financial support, we simply couldn't continue. But with you and friends like you, we continue to share the sanctity of life on some 740 AM and FM radio stations. In order to continue sharing the death-conquering news of the resurrection, your gift today is essential, whatever the amount you feel called to give. You can send your gift today through our online portal at ChooseLifeRadio.com, push the donate button, and make your gift online.
That's ChooseLifeRadio.com. Or you can send your gift to Choose Life Radio, Post Office Box 36622, Canton, Ohio, 44735. Thank you for sending your generous gift today. You make it possible to share the value and sanctity of life on this station.
Welcome back to Choose Life Radio. I'm Jill Taylor, and I'm so glad to be with you today because we have good friends with us. Mitch McKelvey and Greg Mack are joining us again. These are two men who are just caring so much about the unborn. They're saying, why in the world do we pick on the unborn? They're the most innocent, the most unable to protect themselves. And yet we have laws that say, yes, you can kill them up to 3 months, you can kill them up to 6 months, you can kill them up to the 9th month. And we are just losing our ability as Christians to understand, no, this is life, and God has given it. Both of you gentlemen, I appreciate your book. Greg, give us more information on what caused you and Mitch to really develop this book.
You know, outside of kind of the original answers to that question, we unfortunately or fortunately, we live in a social construct that is political and that has policies and that has a government that enforces things and can make you do things you don't want to do if you don't agree with them anyway. And so there's a political aspect to this. Now, we don't address that necessarily specifically in the book, but the academic contents of it are designed to help inform the information required for policymakers and voters to understand an issue at a deeper level so they know what it means when they vote for something, right? Versus just, again, that superficial emotional reason why, and that there's a lot more to consider than just the emotional part. And it's very difficult because of the idea of choice and freedom to choose. That is held in high regard by, in our country, the two major parties, and that healthcare being a right, you know, is a more of a left idea, meaning that it has to be available for every human under all circumstances, no matter what the situation. And, you know, there are consequences to that idea. And I'm not sure we really think through the consequences, you know, of saying that on the surface, it sounds good. It sounds okay. It sounds right that we should be able to choose all the time whatever we want. And so we wanted to help folks be better informed on that and look at the consequences of what it means.
That word choice is a fascinating word. It really discerns left and right. It discerns right and wrong. It discerns a good option and a lesser option. When we begin to put people into that category, we are taking a bad leap off of the ledge because we're not just talking about babies unborn. Sometimes we're talking about the elderly who are costing us in our caregivings. And, you know, maybe it's just time to let them go. Those are the things that are just decisions made by people who are looking perhaps at the funding that comes in as a result, or the callousness of, I don't want to have to deal with this. I'm tired of going in and cleaning this elderly woman up every day, and she's going to die anyway. Let's let her go. It's a parallel that starts at the very beginning of the conception to the very end of life. And if we go that way, many people listening to this right now will say, oh, I would never try to have my mother die. You know, I wouldn't, no matter how old she is. Well, the reality is we live in a world now that does allow that. Our nation is just getting cluttered in their brains with things that really aren't what God wants us to do with life.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I mean, whether a culture embraces a philosophy of life and can understand that there is no culture without life. There are no rights without life. There are no freedoms without being alive. Right? So the problem is, of course, sin. ultimately in the final analysis. But and that leads us to being very selfish and short-sighted. And that's tough, right, to have the long view and the big view and to think outside of ourselves. And what's amazing is, you know, again, how readily that issue of life and what it is and what its value is become so politicized now, so supercharged politically, that it's literally changing the very foundations of what our social construct is built on. And that if life becomes relatively meaningless and can be cast away when inconvenient, boy, you're very quickly looking at a highly destructive authoritarian situation there, where the only primary value is economic, right? Money.
Talk a little bit about your book, the book that you two of you wrote. I want you to give the title and what those chapters lead you down. They're really good.
The title is Abortion, The Case for Life and Clarity for the Christian. And, you know, there's an introduction and a preface, you know, where we start to introduce the ideas and the concepts. And then there's seven major chapters. You know, the first one is the science, answering some questions about what life is and when it starts and what constitutes life and the biology and defining terms, really, so that we can all understand each other. Because if we can't understand each other from a language perspective, we can't even think together. So we started with that. And then the second chapter is looking at the stages of human development. Once fertilization occurs, you're a human, and we have titles for each phase, if you will, or stage of human life, from embryo, you know, to fetus, right, to child, teenager, adult, right? And we define those things, but at every stage, you're a human. And we thought this was important as well, because it's that emotional language, right? When you call the human in the womb at any particular developmental stage, a child, a baby, right? Where child and baby have a very particular definitions along the development continuum. And so we wanted to clarify the language there, and then looking at the decision to abort is the third chapter, and looking at this idea of what a human right is, and where do these rights come from, and what makes you think you have the right, and who enforces the right. And there's some real problems there in terms of this notion of absolute rights that can never be rescinded once bestowed. And then we look in chapter four at the moral source, where we look at the biblical document and what the Lord says about this issue as an objective moral position. And what does that mean? And then there's an overall conclusion. And then when is, if ever, abortion a moral choice? What would be the conditions under which that is, and being sensitive as we can to the realities that abortions occur, and some folks are perfectly fine with it and don't seem to be affected, and others are, and that we have to be sensitive to that as well, and that it's not something you can take back once it occurs.
The book is excellent. It's just Abortion, The Case for Life, and when I was in the pregnancy center working, that was a book that got handed out to a lot of people because it gave them information. The beauty of the book to be handing out when people go into that room, if they could hand that book out and just say, just take a few look at the chapters, maybe it's worth looking at before you make this decision.
Because it's a short read. Yeah, it's a short read. It's only, what, 20, 25 minutes?
Yeah, well, it's not either. I got to spend lots of time in it, but it's a quick book. It's a quick book to read, and definitely the chapters lead you right into each other. So you're just on a stream of information. I just so appreciate the time you guys took to do it. Two men who are very involved in caring about life. Mitch, are you still there? Can you give us one or two words before we get ready to close?
Yeah, I'm still here, Jill, thanks. Again, I think the book really focuses on that at the moment of conception, it's a human life valuable. And most people would agree that human life is valuable and shouldn't be lightly taken without cause. I just want people to know that who are thinking about this, and I understand people get pregnant at 16 or all the scenarios where you would say, I need to have an abortion because my life will be destroyed without it, but it's just not true. I want everybody to see that that's a human. And when that human's allowed to continue its progression through the stages of human development from conception to death, that the world is full of parents who did not abort, and they would never go back and say, I wish I had an abortion. Have trust in God and know, though it seems hopeless, your situation, that the only way out is to have an abortion. That's not the case.
And we haven't talked today about the gift of adoption, which is something that Howard and I have experienced. And that is a great option for a person who says, I can't raise a child. Adoption is the hugest gift to give to someone who wants desperately to have a child or another child. And so, listener, you have completed the circle with us today, and we are so grateful to have Mitch and Greg with us again, and looking forward to seeing you again next week at Choose Life Radio.
The preceding program was sponsored by the Choose Life Radio Network of Canton, Ohio.